So we end the year with an ice storm, but 2013 was also a year that saw a super typhoon in the Philippines, tornadoes in Oklahoma, and wildfires across the western U.S. Joining us now to look back at some of the other big stories of 2013 are Tom Ashbrook, host of NPR's On Point. Tom, welcome.
Great to be here, Jeremy.
And we've also got with us from Doral, Florida, Fusion anchor Jorge Ramos. Jorge, great to have you as well.
Great to be here.
And let's get right to it. Tom Ashbrook, I want to start with you. Biggest story of the year.
I say biggest story of the year, Snowden. The revelations of Edward Snowden have changed the way we understand intelligence gathering and intelligence operations in this country, and they have changed the way the world thinks about the United States. There were always suspicions of enormous intelligence, but no one fully understood the scale. I think the story and that mountain of stories that just keep coming has been just like one giant golf umbrella over this year, and it's not over. Could be the biggest story of 2014 as well. I'd say Snowden and what we've learned about the NSA.
Jorge Ramos, what do you think?
Well, I was tempted to say that the Pope was going to be the biggest story, or the dysfunctional Congress that we have. But there's no question that Edward Snowden and this new era in which there are no secrets. It is very difficult to say if he's a traitor, as many people in politics might want to say, or a whistleblower. I call him a digital rebel. It is incredible what we know right now because of Edward Snowden. Before him, we thought the U.S. government was spying on us and on foreign leaders. Now we know it's happening. And of course, with the president of Mexico, Enrique Peña Nieto, and the president of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, and German chancellor, they know that something is going on. They know they've been spied on by the U.S. And this is definitely a new era thanks to Edward Snowden.
Jeremy, let me pick up on what Jorge is saying there,
sure,
because I think he's pointing out some amazing aspects of this. And I must say, I was also tempted by the Pope, because this Pope is changing the conversation within the Catholic Church, but inevitably beyond it as well, with his tough critique, especially here at year's end, of capitalism, inequality, and the way he has just said, yes, I have this way of thinking, and I'm not at all hesitant to share it with the world. That's going to resonate for a long time. But on Snowden, I think Jorge's exactly right. The end of secrets, that's enormous. It's a technological change that is going to make us all think in different ways about our lives. But also, that he calls Edward Snowden the digital rebel. Yes.
Yeah.
They're the power of one. The power of one individual who knows how to work the keys of this technology today is like maybe never before in history.
And we end the year, of course, with this big story on 60 Minutes about the NSA that is causing all kinds of controversy. This was the NSA's way of essentially responding to all of the things that Edward Snowden brought up.
Oh, Jorge, didn't you do that story? Oh, no, that was 60 Minutes.
Jorge Ramos, I want to pick up on something you said, which is the dysfunction in Washington and an issue that you have been covering a lot, and that is immigration reform. Let me play some tape here of President Obama. First at the beginning of the year and then at the end, and you'll hear the difference in how he's talking about immigration reform. Let's listen right now. This is him in Las Vegas in January.
The differences are dwindling, where a broad consensus is emerging, and where a call for action can now be heard coming from all across America. I'm here today because the time has come for common sense, comprehensive immigration reform. The time is now.
A lot of vigor, a lot of energy. Now let's listen to him 10 months later. This is President Obama in San Francisco.
Of course, just because something is smart, fair, good for the economy, and supported by business, labor, law enforcement, faith leaders, Democratic and Republican governors, including the governor of this state, just because all that is in place doesn't mean we'll actually get it done. Because this is Washington, after all, that we're talking about. And everything's looked through a political prism.
Jorge Ramos, what a difference. And this was a year in which it looked quite possible that immigration reform would be passed. Of course, we're going to come to the end of it, and it won't be yet.
Yeah, President Barack Obama is doing right now what he should have done in 2009. He promised when he was running for president that he was going to bring immigration reform to Congress in his first year in office. That didn't happen. So now he's trying to do something when he doesn't have the political capital to do it. The problem with President Barack Obama is that even though he's for immigration reform, and that's great, is that he's deported almost 2 million immigrants since he's been in power. So on one hand, he's saying, you know, I'm for immigration reform. I want you here. Immigrants are important. And at the same time, he's deporting us. He's deporting a lot of Latinos, people who are neither terrorists nor criminals, and that's exactly the problem. Now, he doesn't have the support of Republicans. Republicans are to blame for that. John Boehner said last June to George Stephanopoulos on this week that immigration reform was at the top of his list as a priority. And nowadays, we know that Republicans and John Boehner, that they don't want to move on immigration. So that's where we are right now, 11 million people in this country who are being persecuted, who live in fear, and nothing's being done because there's really no political will.
Tom Ashbrook, you talk to Americans every day. What are they saying about this issue?
Oh, I think people want a solution to this. They don't think we can go on forever with so many millions, as Jorge says, in our midst in this undefined status. Of course, the irony is, I think Barack Obama was prepared to deport, to do all those deportations to establish his reputation as a kind of law and order guy, tough on immigration so that he could bring in the reform.
Yep.
If he fails on the reform, then he's just the guy who deported millions of people. And he ends up with not only himself having that, what we heard there in that tape out of San Francisco, that bitterly ironic, cynical tone on this front.
Yep.
Bitter irony is not typically what gets reform done. And it's not what really moves populations in the end.
Well, what would you say is the reason for all the dysfunction in Washington? This has really been a year in which nothing has gotten done.
Oh, I don't know that I have special insight on that. You know, you have different interests now with such inequality that, you know, you've got people with a lot of money who swing a big stick and it goes in their direction. Inevitably, it's human nature. We just haven't managed to get ourselves out of this jam. But it won't last forever where we can just sort of hang here ineffectually. Sooner or later, circumstances are going to hit us upside the head and break the logjam if we don't do it ourselves.
I think it has to do with the triumph of politics of confrontation. I think both parties realize that if you insist on the extremes, that it pays off. They can get reelected. There are no really political consequences for not moving. So, for instance, Republicans right now, they're not moving on immigration, and nothing's happening. They think if they don't move on immigration, nothing's going to happen. They're going to be reelected, that there are really not going to be any political consequences. I think they're wrong. I think on 2016, Latinos will remember that they're not moving. They will lose the White House again because without the Hispanic vote, that's one of the new rules. Without the Hispanic vote, they can't really make it to the White House. But at this point, what you're asking, the dysfunctionality of Congress has to do, I think, with this politics of confrontation. It's paying off, and so far, they're not going to move from that.
That's Jorge Ramos, anchor at Univision News and Fusion. We're also speaking with Tom Ashbrook, the host of NPR's On Point. We will continue our conversation in a moment. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and let's get back to our conversation on the year's biggest news stories. Tom Ashbrook is host of NPR's On Point. He's here in the studio, and Jorge Ramos joins us from Doral, Florida, where he is a Univision News and Fusion anchor. And Jorge, back to you. What story do you think was most overlooked this year?
Well, I think from my point of view, more than the economy here in the United States, I think it has to do with the Middle East and with all the efforts to prevent a nuclear war. Therefore, the international cooperation and the international effort to try to prevent Iran from producing a nuclear bomb, I think that's the most important story. Mm. Because if we fail and Iran decides to build a nuclear bomb and then they start a war with Israel, that would be, I mean, I can't even imagine what would happen.
Although things are looking relatively optimistic on that front at the moment.
Yeah, I think President Barack Obama has been proposing foreign policy that diplomacy is better than war. When he got into power, he promised us that he was not going to be George W. Bush, that he was not going to start another war like the one George W. Bush started in Iraq and in Afghanistan. So from his point of view, diplomacy is working.
Tom Ashbrook, most overlooked story of the year.
Overlooked, I'll stay in the same region as Jorge, but I think I'll put Iran aside. I agree with Jorge. This is tremendously important to see how this plays out. It could reshape the map of the Middle East and strategic interests and even partnerships there. But for purely overlooked, I would look right next door to Iraq, where we invested so much blood and treasure, so many years and lives. And in this last year, it has spiraled almost silently. recently in the American press into turmoil.
Well,
into
many news organizations don't even have people there anymore.
And meanwhile, we're seeing suicide attacks and dozens killed per day. It's not uncommon to see that in Iraq. Where that goes is a huge question mark over this region. And you have to look at it, I think, in concert with its bloody cousin next door, Syria. We've had coverage, but hardly news coverage at a scale equivalent to the human tragedy there and the potential, again, strategic and military consequences of Syria turning into a real open sore in the Middle East. I think those are the overlooked zones on my news map.
Millions of people fleeing Syria, causing all kinds of unrest in the neighboring countries.
Yes, fleeing across borders and made displaced people refugees inside their own country, literally starving to death, freezing to death sometimes inside their own country.
You know, neither of you have talked about healthcare.gov, which is a big story this year. Certainly, it's going to be one of the key points of the Obama presidency. Let's listen to President Obama on November 14th talking about his decision to allow insurers to extend existing health plans on the individual and small group markets.
I completely get how upsetting this can be for a lot of Americans, particularly after assurances they heard from me that if they had a plan that they liked, they could keep it. And to those Americans, I hear you loud and clear. I said that I would do everything we can to fix this problem, and today I'm offering an idea that will help do it.
Jorge Ramos, what are your thoughts on the rollout of healthcare.gov and how important that's been in this year and in the Obama presidency overall?
Well, there's no question that the rollout was a disaster. And I think the government and President Barack Obama, they've been right in trying to make a distinction, a clear distinction between the rollout and the program itself. I mean, I talk to many, many Latinos every single day. Millions of them don't have health insurance. This is a great opportunity that for the first time in their lives to have health insurance. So in that sense, I do understand that the rollout was terrible, that it isn't working, that President Barack Obama promised that he didn't keep. And that's affecting his credibility. If it works, it should be great, but the rollout was a disaster.
Tom, people have very strong views on both sides of this issue.
I guess, of course, it was an enormous story this year, but I think it may be even a bigger story in 2014. Mm. Why? The make or break moment for this, it turns out, will come next year. It could literally fail, not get the numbers it makes to work as a system. I'm not predicting that. I'm not favoring that, but the numbers aren't there yet. This thing could still founder on its own shortcomings, not drawing the support it needs from people signing up, or run into a political buzzsaw. 2014 will tell a lot of that story.
I finally want to ask both of you if there is a story from this year that is going to change the way you look at the world. And Jorge, I'll start with you.
Well, I would put it in two different terms. On the serious side, I think one story that was not really covered by American media has to do with Uruguay and their experiment on legalizing the sale, production, and consumption of marijuana. Hmm. I had the opportunity to talk with President Jose Mujica recently, and he told me that it's an experiment, and they just have to try for something different. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke with Bill Clinton, and he told me openly that he had used marijuana.
So, which was a change of position from before when he said, I didn't inhale.
He used it as
exactly.
A mouthwash, or did he inhale?
And you know what's so interesting is that he was able to say that, and there was not a big deal nowadays.
That's right.
President Barack Obama wrote that he had experimented with cocaine and with marijuana. But my point is this, that if you have a country, the United States, in which a president, a former president, and millions of Americans are using drugs, and thousands of Latin Americans, people in Mexico, in Colombia, in Central America, are dying because of the war on drugs, something has to be done. And therefore, Uruguay is willing to do that, to try that new experiment. And I think that was the most underreported story of the year.
Tom Ashbrook, is there a story from this year that's going to change the way you look at the world?
Well, Jorge goes south, I think I'll go east. And I think this will change the way we all look at the world. We're seeing just in these last few months, China has been rising as an economic power for years. But in the last few months, you've seen a change here, a more nationalist surge in policy and outlook in what they're doing. That big territorial zone pushing out over the East China Sea in Japan's face, now Japan's going to rearm. China on pushing out American reporters, We don't know what's going to happen there, but a lot of reporters for the biggest media in America are seeing their visas expire, and China's like, well, what are you going to do about it? Who cares what you think? China on the moon and surging pride because of that. I think the long, harmonious rise of China was the phrase that China always used, is turning, as we speak at the end of 2013, into something different. It's going to be in people's faces, and it may well be that thing that changes all our realities before we know it, while we're here playing with the pieces of our own little jigsaw puzzle.
Well, no, those are the big stories. On the soft side of you, just allow me, I think the selfie is the
story. Have you taken a selfie this year, Jorge?
I took a selfie with President Clinton, and he was game. He was willing to do that. But you know, something really interesting. I mean, I've noticed a change, because just a few months ago, you would go to someone and then you would say, would you want me to take a picture of you? And they would say, yes, sure. Nowadays, no one wants that. Say, no, thanks so much. I'll just take a selfie. And that's new. That's completely new.
Or the great cartoon I saw of Nelson Mandela and God, and they're taking selfies of one another standing together in heaven.
Well, Jorge, you're in Miami, but Tom and I, maybe we'll take a selfie now. We'll post it on hereandnow.org. Jorge Ramos, host at Fusion, and Tom Ashbrook, host of NPR's On Point. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And what do you think was the biggest story of the year? Listeners have been weighing in at our Facebook page. Meg Chandler Wolf writes, it was the government shutdown, accomplished nothing, she says. Kyle Hill Linen wrote that his top story of the year was the Boston Marathon bombing. For listener Karen Siegel, the year's top stories were Edward Snowden, Bradley Manning, and the acquittal of George Zimmerman. Patrick McLaughlin wrote that Nelson Mandela's death was his top story of the year. You can weigh in too at facebook.com/hereandnowradio, and we will get that selfie shot that Tom and I are taking up as soon as possible. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Gentle Giant Moving Company, coordinating moves in neighborhoods across the country with locations nationwide. More at gentlegiant.com. And Lumosity.com, dedicated to improving memory and attention with neuroscience-based games for the brain, at Lumosity.com.